Cool. So, welcome to Making Wait, nope, wrong panel. This is Get Real Work Done on the Fly. And my name is Drew Law. I'm the Customer Success Manager at Sohonet.
I'm Tim. I run the field engineering at Sohonet.
And we are here because we are going to talk about remote collaboration for video editing. And we connect storytellers like yourselves. So, collaboration is nothing new. We've all been doing it, but we all do it slightly differently, and that can pose some challenges. I'm sure we've all worked on teams that, you know, aren't in the same area. You're shooting in one location, your editors are in a different location, and directors are God knows where, but I mean, you still have to work together to get the project done. Now, on top of having to worry about who's where and what, you have to worry about scheduling now, making sure you commit the time of day to make sure that everyone who's involved in the project is able to work on it together. What comes next? Budgeting. So the most important thing, the thing that they slash first, budgeting. So flying your team back and forth, you know, just for a limited amount of time to work on projects, it's a little bit unnecessary. And lastly, outdated technology. So, if you're working on something, you're getting really close to finishing, you want to work together, but your tech stack isn't just there yet, I mean, it can be kind of frustrating when you want to get those creative juices flowing. So, some of the things that, you know, we probably use or we've tried. Getting everyone in the same room. Now, this, I would say, is the best. If you can get everyone in the same room and get everything done, boom. I would say that's the best. But I wouldn't say it's most realistic, I mean, in terms of budgeting and whatnot, and everything we just talked about earlier. You can use video conferencing. So, really easy to use, quick setup. But again, that's where you will, you know, hit with the quality. And security-wise, in terms of video, if you're just using video conferencing, probably not the best if you're, you know, looking to review material. Sending out custom duds. So I actually had to be told what a dubs was, which means that it's probably pretty old, but I heard that it's kind of outdated, and you gotta send a physical file to someone for them to work on it. And again, probably not the best in terms of real-time collaboration. Cloud-based portals. Now, this is great for any type of asynchronization or asynchronized collaboration. When someone's working on it, then someone else is working on it. But again, that lack of immediacy with these is still a challenge there. Synchronized playback. So again, like asynchronized collaboration works great. I mean, it requires some prep beforehand, but if it works, it works. But then if it doesn't, you gotta call your IT team, you gotta call, you know, the company that, or third party that you're using with that. So there are some issues there as well. So we are here to introduce ClearView Flex. Tim?
Yeah, sure. So I'm gonna be trying to set this up for Drew as I'm doing this, but the idea that the edit suite is somewhat of an island and you're in there by yourself, and we talked about synchronous, and the synchronous sense, you'd actually have to have your own, like, if I wanted to talk to somebody and they were in a hotel in London and I was in Vancouver, the person I'm talking to have their own propeller head with an appliance so I could set up a TVIP session. So what we've done is we've tried to address that and say, hey, you know what, there's no reason the edit suite needs to be an island. You should be able to engage with folks wherever they are, real time, ad hoc, whenever needed, and say, hey, listen, I'm stuck on this frame, I'm really thinking about, you know, this product play, whatever the heck it might be, sound, whatever the heck it might be able to do that ad hoc, real time. So we developed this solution in a sort of a, wouldn't it be cool if we, you know, it is 2017, if we didn't have to rely on technology from long ago. So cool. I'm going to turn it over to Drew at the same time as I set up this session.
All right. So, while Tim sets that up, we'll kind of describe ClearView Flex. So ClearView Flex requires a one rack unit that can live at your edit bay. It just takes HCSDI as the input video, and then from there it sends up to our data center. And what Tim is going to do right now from the web portal, this is how you access your box, is by a one-time use link via email that will expire in 30 minutes if you do not use it. And If you do use it and try to exit the session and come back, it will not work. So he's gonna just invite the iPad that we'll pass around to show you. We're gonna turn on this video, this TV right here, which is the playback that's right out of the Blackmagic, and you can compare the latency. We like to say it's about 2 frame rates behind, but I'll let you be the judge of that when you see it. What you see over here is our integration with Bluescape, so this allows for further collaboration. Probably should turn it on while I'm talking about it. And you can see that on the receiving end, this iPad didn't require any type of setup. It's just your iPad. You have email loaded to it. If it is iOS, it does require an app. It's a free app that's available on the App Store, ready for you to use. So that's pretty great right here. So again, this is the web console. He's invited the wall. We're going to just this. See the one-time use link. Do the same thing with the email. And now, this person can be the director, can be a producer who's anywhere, and he just gets an email to be like, hey, I'm gonna start the session, let's work on it together right now. So we're gonna click open, and join. And I'll pass this around for you guys to compare. So again, I would compare this to this TV right here. Again, this is the output directly from the Blackmagic. And then we'll start up this over here. It requires, on the receiving end, a pretty low amount of bandwidth, just 2 megs to be able to use it. Let's see. And again, just like before, one-time use link, click on it. Session, and we're up and running. So the great thing about Bluescape is if you do have this wall, or if not, it works on the web portal as well, but it's just a Chrome browser that's overlaid onto this wall. It allows you to take snapshots, like you see right here. We'll take another snapshot, put it right next to it, and again, this allows for annotation of the video if there is when I have my stylus. Oh, can you hand me the stylus over there, Tim? If the editor, or if there are multiple editors working on a project and they're actually not there, you can save what's going on. You can say change that. I mean, that's kind of mean. That's your face. But I mean, you can, you know, this is wrong text. And what you see at the bottom right here, that's moving back and forth very slowly, is the session ID burn-in. So this is like a security watermarking that's connected to this session. And from the admin console, you'll be able to see exactly who joined the session. You can kick people off of it in case of any type of, you know, video footage were to be leaked. It can be tracked back to this exact session right here. Say. Clip Reflect in a nutshell. That's awesome. Any questions? Yes.
So does it get, is there like a something akin to a time code if somebody wanted to just say, I mean, like that frame could be like, there could be 10 frames that look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like something where they can jump right to that reference, that time?
I will say because it is real time and you're kind of jogging back and forth, although you could put a timestamp on it, I mean, because you're going back and forth, it may not be completely relevant, but for your own material, you can put a timestamp on it, but in the way we have it.
This is more for reviews or dailies?
Yeah, review and approval of dailies, you know, when you're probably at the end stage of the production cycle.
Is that watermarking customizable? Can I have
a corporation or a person's name instead of a session ID?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any more markers that I can put in like that?
So the great thing about ClearView Flex is it's a developing product. So we have an entire development team in London in-house that's working on it. We have heard a lot of feedback about this burden right here. So we are looking to, in future sprints, customize it to kind of what you were saying, maybe have like a username there of the person who logged in, kind of like an IP address, maybe something attached to the session name that you saw earlier. So we're working to see, you know, what's the best combination in terms of security moving forward for that. Great question. Hat. Give this guy a hat. My CMO said if you ask a great question, give you a hat. Yep.
So could you do some, could you show like some editing or something, removing a couple of frames or just some light or color correction or something? And does it propagate all the screens at the same time?
Yeah, so we have it just connected to a Blackmagic and a HyperDeck right now. So in terms of what we can show you kind of the latency between the content that's coming out of the stream as well as you know, what you see being streamed right here. So you know, if you were doing any type of editing session, this is, we do prioritize synchronization here, so if there were to have any type of connectivity drop off, it will lose frames and pick up exactly where you started off. So if you were, for example, to tell me when to stop and drop back and forth, as the editor, you can play the director, you can see kind of the latency right now.
And the editors or the editors could be spread out all over the world, I'm guessing, in different locations.
Correct. So you don't have to technically be in the same physical building as the Flexbox to be able to access it. So I could be in like the office in New York, or I could be in a different part of LA, as long as I'm able to, I have the login for the box as a user.
VPN type of thing? Is that how the traffic or the packets go across the world or over the public internet? Or how is that?
Well, it goes up to one of our data centers that we have. So we have one here in LA and one in London, and then from there it's transcoded out via the internet. Right. But we have end-to-end encryption. So from your device to our data center, and from our data center to the devices that it's being streamed out to.
So imagine you're in the back of the taxi and you have that part of the tablet. Right? You're in the back of the taxi and you're on a device. And you go through, you ready? You say pause, back up where you're sitting, right there, stop. I hate the way she's grabbing her hair right there. Can you annotate, mark, we want to change that, what he said, or in the next session, I want that out, do we cut those frames or whatever. So if you're using Bluescape, you can annotate like that. If you're not using Bluescape and the editor's just editing, you can make notes and edit. And you say hit play again, right? And so you're watching everything on your tablet while he's doing that, and you have a real time sync.
Okay. All right. So there's a master version, right?
He's playing out of the back of it, whatever your edits video, your Avid, your Blackmagic, your
any sources, right?
Yeah, whatever. It's just an HDSDI video feed. All right. Could be a live camera. Could be.
I see. All
right. And the beauty is, because it's real time, you can control your editor manually. All right. So today, what you do is you spend a lot of time either in this town, you drive from Santa Monica to Hollywood, or from Burbank down to Culver City to go sit in a room with somebody. So you can do it, anchor that same conversation, stop, back up.
Right.
And the question is, why do you have to drive? You don't have to drive.
So it has HDMI and SDI in, is that what you're saying? Or is it just SDI?
SDI out. And you can do an HDMI swap. It's kind of cool to get, you know, it's not a great change. So, but HDSDI out, which will cover any video source that you use in a professional video. Make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the same process if you guys use TVIPs. It's the same concept as TVIPs, except the other end isn't another TVIPs box. It's your iPad or your phone or your laptop, which means you can truly be anything. And you can have 12 people online in 12 different locations around the world.
Does anybody want to see this? Or just?
So it replaces like the old days of okay, you have a cut and then you get it on a repository all over the world in different time frames, and everybody's trying to collaborate in different time zones. This just cuts that out. You're all on the same page at the same time because you're unicasting it out to everybody. Or you could.
Correct, correct. So in every production these days, you do a lot of offline. But when crunch time comes, you do real time. You either get the assholes in a room.
Yeah, you don't have any control over the video. You're right. Just watching.
So you have people in a room, or you're doing something via or some other method where you're trying to have your director and editor behave like they're in the same room.
And so, the beauty of that is, you know, if it was produced and maybe even edited in Australia or something, and the person's in Hollywood, you just remove that barrier.
Correct. So we do a lot of what we call QuickView HD. So 2K, 4K, 16 channels of audio, color correctable, 35 foot screen, all that. And that works beautifully, obviously. Expensive. But it requires you connecting two edit suites together. And this is one edit suite and any other device. It's not color correctable, right? But it means you can be anywhere. So you can have, you know, your executive or your producer can pop out a Cannes Film Festival or a Sundance or whatever, or be at the airport, give you feedback, and then get on with it.
You say there's an app for the iPad, but on a desktop that's just all in browser? There's no fixed
Chrome browser works, Android, any modern Chrome browser.
Sorry to interrupt, but someone just dropped their wallet here.
That's probably not good.
That's
currency
of
the marketing department comes with a hat.
Right. Yes.
Are the annotations exportable?
They are. It's through the Bluescape web client, so you would have to log in via bluescape.com, have a different user, and then you can export out all the annotations and notes that were made there.
So once someone's out of the session, they can't get back into the same session? You have to start a brand new one?
So if they were to exit the session, then you know, if any type of connectivity drop or whatever, the admin console right here would be notified. So you can see that two people are online right now. So if one person, i.e. the wall, would be a different person, gets dropped out, they would be dropped down here. It would turn gray. And then the admin could just one click and re-invite them. So the link that they got earlier wouldn't get them back into the session, but the new one that would be sent out by the presenter would allow them access to come back to the stream.
In the same session?
In the same session.
Got it.
Right. So the presenter is the one who's controlling the session. So whoever is in charge of this web portal is the one that's controlling this current session that's on the stream.
So in the crazy example where maybe the assistant gets an email at the same time the boss does, if she were to click or he were to click on the link, you would see them come in. And then you could just kick them out. Obviously, you're going to know who's on session because you're talking to them. So you would just kick them out and then re-invite them.
Any thoughts of integrating a web conferencing platform like a WebEx or something where you can get that audio included in your session?
So we've looked at it from the Chrome laptop side. The challenge is, so in our 2K version, we have an integrated video conference capability. It's a product called LiveSize. A lot of audio video work to make that work well. And this, most of our customers using it today are on a cell phone or on a computer. I mean, they are
straight up analog.
Yeah, they're literally in the back of somewhere with their cell phone in one hand and their iPad or laptop in another. They might be dialed into a conference session, but their own goes to meeting.
I was curious, like, if you could do the invite that they're joining, that could also trigger like that audio call.
Yeah.
So that it would dial you back or something, just streamline the process so you don't have to make two calls.
So far, that's been
not necessary.
Well, it's not been a high return process. Right? They all have their own. Yeah.
Did you, just sorry, slow learner, the hardware that you have in this room, can you just talk about that again? What's the hardware?
So the one rack unit,
yeah,
what we call Google Flex Box, it does it out of the back of the Blackmagic HyperDeck, has an HDSDI cable, so a video cable.
Okay.
It just goes into the one rack unit.
From when that runs?
One rack unit is an Ethernet cable going into the network. It pushes from here an encrypted signal from here to our local data center. Right. At that point, it's unencrypted, split into however many signals you have. So there's 12 people in the session, it can split 12 times.
Okay.
And re-encrypted and delivered to mobile.
So that's all networking stuff over here, it sounds like.
Other than the hyperdeck, which is a proxy for your admin or whatever your editing system.
Whatever your editing system, okay.
Gotcha.
So you can work with any editing system.
Yeah, any video source.
Yeah.
Yeah. No different than TVIPs or any other way you would do remote whatever.
Does that make sense?
It does.
How about latency from your data center to, say, Australia or India or Tokyo?
So we've had this in live production for studios in this town from Australia to LA, and we're fine. We've done Beijing to LA, we've done London to LA, we've done London to Hawaii.
Mexico City to LA.
Yep.
City to LA.
Yeah, so we've done pretty much every major pair we can think of. Obviously, speed of light, like I can't. So the further you go, you're going to have natural latency introduced in your voice, but so is your phone.
Yeah.
The good news is it's going to be as good as your phone, right? But so you at least in the sessions that we participated in between like London and LA, which is 5,000 miles, it looks like it does. It looks and feels like you already have. So.
You mentioned 2 MBS on the receiving line. What's the bandwidth cost on it? On the edit bay side to your data center?
In
4K, and is it TCP, UDP, is it stepping on my traffic?
It's all TCP. It's all TCP. Today we have a mobile, a Wi-Fi, and a desktop version. Desktop's going to get you closer to Blu-ray quality, but I would suggest you need 20 megs up. You probably use a 6, 7 right now. It's essentially doing the VP9 coder. Think of VP9 as the same mathematical payload as H.265, but with transport built into it. And we chose that to get around firewall problems. The biggest problem any of these systems have is your IT guys to go in and change 50 firewall, which means it doesn't work everywhere. And everything we do is try to avoid that problem, right? We're trying to keep the IT go out of the loop so your creative people can just make it work. Right? Literally send an email, click, you're in. So VP9 fits that, and it's what Google uses on YouTube. So they didn't do it. VP8 and VP9 came out 3 months ago, 6 months ago.
So it's H.265 with
transport placement. It's essentially that code. So the 6 meg stream behaves like an MPEG-2 like a 4 meg stream. So it's Blu-ray quality. And again, I don't. At least on it, if you show this on a 65-inch TV, it looks great. You can still see a difference between live signals. So if we were in our demo room with 2 TVs next to each other, you can see it. But it's in the grain of the smoke, I mean, the grain of the explosion. And obviously, you can solve that problem. If we're close, so you can solve it. It just gets more painful. But the comparison, if you do TVIPs, the lowest grade you're going to go is about 150 megs a second. So it's a significantly different bandwidth problem.
Yeah.
That's the difference between like business class versus like home class.
Right. So what we're seeing is people are using this to do the review and approve part, and the color grading is still color grading. It still has to happen on a JPEG 2000.
Thanks everyone. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Sitting through this.
Thank you. It was really great.
Cookies. I think we're the only room left with cookies.
Yeah. And is so proud.
Yeah. And coffee. But it could be for the rest of the breakout sessions too.
Make sure that we clean them up.
Yeah. Clean out the house.
I'm sorry, did someone ask this question? What's your pricing model?
Pricing?
Yeah.
What's
the cost?
Pricing?
How much
yeah.
does it cost?
Yeah.
It's free.
No,
I'll take two.
It comes with a wall and a hat.
Exactly. list price.
We have one more piece.
It's about $3K a month.
Okay,
so
thanks.
if you were at like 20 boxes, it's not about 500. Depends on how many boxes we have at home.
Teradek would be a solution you'd see, but it's more, again, you need two pieces. You need an end receive, so your IP looks involved. You would see Streambox. They either do the Teradek thing, two boxes. They have a version like this where there's a box. It's just a 2 second delay versus a 2 frame delay. So 2 frames is 84 milliseconds. So Streambox isn't 2 seconds. You know, it's like pause, and then he gets the wrong frame, and then back up. It's a little more.
Sure. Can you clarify the cost?
And that's what
they say the cost is a subscription.
Yeah,
you have to buy the hardware and subscribe.
No. It's just a monthly.
So you say, here's the hardware to use for the subscription.
So if you were to call tomorrow and said, hey, I'm doing a production in Australia, we ship the box in, we get it installed for you, and you pay a monthly fee until you're done, and then we collect the box.
Does it matter how many users that log in from the
system? We use different, you know, sort of basic pro enterprise. Like,
what's the cost for the subscription?
So it's $3,000 a month if you're doing production, right? So say with 5 users. But it scales out, so if you had 20 boxes in your big facility and you had multiple database or whatever, you'd sign about $500 a month per box.
Okay.
Oh, is there a restriction on how many users per box?
In the way that we sell today, there's basic, which has one set of features in it, right? Pro and then enterprise, mm-hmm. And typically it's 2, 5, and 20 per session.
Got it. Okay.
Right? And again, we have, typically you're seeing 2 to 3 people in the session, right? We've done more than 20, but it's not a usual use case. It's more presenting something in a one-way town hall type thing versus
How about concurrent sessions? Meaning that you've got multiple reviews going on across multiple content.
We just have to do multiple boxes, so
okay.
There can only be one video stream out of that.
Got it.
So, but in the session host that he was showing you, he can manage multiple boxes. The host, whoever the host or hosts are,
right.
Can log in and then, you know, say, I want to log in a box, New York box, I want to log into the LA box,
right.
I want to log in this week number two.
And maybe each one of those would be 3K a month. In that situation, or depending on
yeah,
your plan.
But they get cheaper at scale.
Right.
So,
well, thanks guys for coming out. I think we're going to get kicked out.
Yeah, we're getting the flag warning for the next guest is coming in.